Brother Kenny's funeral's tomorrow. It's a graveside funeral at 10 o'clock. Please remember that family in your prayers. Amen. Nobody can come. It's kind of a COVID thing and all that other stuff. Well, he's in glory tonight. That Kenny loved the Lord, man. That thing still bothers me. Esther chapter 7.
Well, I'm going to say something about Brother Kenny. That man loved the Lord. You know what? He got where he had a bad attitude and just wasn't good to be around, but he got sick and the Lord had him with a problem. You know what that man told me? He said, I've gotten where I had a bad attitude and I wasn't thankful to God like I should have been. He said, God afflicted me and help me see just how wrong I was. He said, that's a good God.
That's right.
That's the only man I think has ever told me personally that God afflicted him and he thanked God for him. That's the kind of man he was. I just found out the man was there. But you know what? Man, thank God for Brother Kenny and thank God for biblical salvation.
You got that right. That man loved God. He loved God's word. He loved God's people, man. I mean, you take a man going out there to the nursing homes like he did faithfully to them people. He went to visit people. People wouldn't even visit. I mean, like clockwork. If you didn't know Kenny. I mean, if there was a nursing home service and he knew about it, he was going to be there. When our men would go preach in the nursing home, the nights that they went, Brother Kenny was there every night. Every night. Man, he loved them people. Loved the Word of God. Loved to do something for God. Amen. Man, the Lord knew what he was doing, but boy, it sure breaks your heart when you hear about how it went down and how they found him laying there several days. But boy, when he took his last breath, he woke up in glory. Amen. That old shell just laid there and decayed a little while, but he's up there shouting the victory, amen. And God's going to fix all that one day, ain't he? Amen. Esther chapter 7. God's got a lot of old saints like that. Don't get much recognition in this whole world, but God's taking notes. Amen. Great people that use their life for God. Nobody don't know in this world. They ain't put no plaques up, no memorials about them. But there's a book up in heaven. God wrote it all down. Amen. Amen. Esther chapter 7. Verse number 1. The Bible says, so the king, we'll kind of do a little bit of recapping if we can, kind of get you up. It's been a while since we've been in the book of Esther. We're going to try to finish up chapter 7 here tonight. We won't be long, Lord willing. He said, so the king and Haman came to the banquet. Now, you know the story. Most of you have been here about the whole study with the book of Esther. We don't have anybody new in here tonight. And if you're watching on the internet and don't know much about the story, you can go back and kind of get some of the other sermons and maybe it'll be a blessing to you. But the Bible said, so the king and Haman came to the banquet which with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. She said, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I'd held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto the queen, and to Esther, the queen, who is he, and where is he that does presume in his heart to do so? Imagine this time the king's kind of upset. I mean, his wife's telling him that, hey, there's a decree sent out for me to be killed, my people to be killed. And he's like, who in the world would do that to my wife and her people? And he said, who is it? The Bible said in verse 6, and Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath and went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace, a place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed wherein Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the king's chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Let's pray. Brother D, how about pray for us tonight? Amen. We looked at this chapter under the spiraling down of Haman. His life's just kind of spiraling out of control, which ultimately leads to his hanging and death at the end of the chapter. We see that Haman's hatred for Mordecai and the Jews and the prayers of God's people, if you find back in chapter 4, that they were praying and fasting for God to answer their request to help them for the decree that Haman had put out to have them destroyed, as Esther said, to destroy, to slay, and to perish. And now that the prayers of God's people is beginning to catch up with Haman's life. For a while it seemed like he was getting by. He had made a decree. He's tried to destroy Mordecai. He hates, who is Esther's, if you will, father. Amen. The one that's taken care of her since her mother and father's passed away. And he hates Mordecai so bad that he wants Mordecai killed and all the Jewish people killed. And when Mordecai found out what was going to be done to the Jewish people, he let Esther know, and Esther and all the Jewish people began to pray and to fast. Really got serious with God that God would intervene and do something. But as they were praying and fasting, Esther's allowing Haman to come over to her house for a banquet. It seems like in Haman's mind that, hey, everything's good. I'm getting by. Nothing's caught up with me. My life is just well. I've got a decree to kill my enemies. The king's taking care of me. I've got good riches. My family's in good shape. Just seems like everything is merry in his life. But God's prayers are beginning to be answered by God's people, and God is setting the thing in order to put Haman in a downward spiral that he will not recover out of. Happens a lot of times in the people of this old world. Amen. God's people and lost people. They get away from God and go against God, and God hears the prayers of His people and begins to put things in motion. Like in this case, a king couldn't sleep. Haman had seen Mordecai had delivered him a few days back where he was going to be destroyed. And hey, God has put everything in order like a puzzle to make this thing happen so Haman can be hung and God's people can be delivered. But boy, in the eyes of God's people, it looks bleak. It looks like, boy, we ain't going to get out of this. I don't know if it's even going to matter. I don't know if it's even all our prayers have come through. Esther said, I'll go before the king. And she made the statement, if I perish, I perish. If I die, that's so be it. Hey, we've got to do something to try to make it stop. And that's a type of the tribulation period where God's people is going to be running from the Antichrist. He's going to be killing and destroying and slaying God's people. And they're going to be praying and they're going to be fasting. They're going to be begging God. And it looks like the Antichrist has got the world by the tail. But Jesus Christ is going to come up, come back, amen, and straighten out Haman, if you will, the Antichrist in that time. And it looks like, amen, just as it will look in the future in the tribulation, sometimes it looks like that in our lives. But rest assured, God is hearing the prayers of His people. And we use the psalm as an introduction in the first two messages that we preached on this spiraling down of Haman. I want to do it again tonight. So turn with me to Psalms 57. These psalms that we read typify the Antichrist's destruction in the tribulation. And they're also a type of Haman being destroyed over here in his life. Psalms chapter number 57. Job's Psalms, right? 57. Haman is a great type of the Antichrist. Esther and the Jews are fleeing for their life. But the king's going to come with the answer. Amen? Psalms 57, look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." As you read this psalm, you can imagine the prayer of a tribulation saint trying to flee from the Antichrist. You can imagine this prayer in maybe similar words, where the children of Israel had the decree that Haman was going to have all of them killed, annihilated, amen, just blown off the earth, amen, destroyed, killed, slain, women, men, children, it didn't matter, boys or girls, and God's people are praying, hey, these calamities are coming, and boy, it's bad, and he's saying, hey, God, be merciful, God, help us, amen. Have you ever gotten a fix like that in your life, and just bow down before the Lord and say, God, I need some help. This thing's overwhelming me. It is more than I can handle. And this is the prayer. He said in verse 2, he said, "I will cry unto God Most High." Thank God we can go to Him. "Unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me." That's the kind of prayer we ought to have. Yes, it's bad, and yes, it's hard, and yes, we ought to be serious with God about how rough it is and sincere about it. Hey, but we ought to have faith that God can overcome it. That's the problem a lot of times. We see how bad it is and we admit that, but we don't have enough faith in what God can do. The psalmist says, he said in verse 3 again, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are falling themselves, Selah." Amen. Haman had dug a pit. Haman had had a gallows built, amen, to have Mordecai hung on, but he's going to hang on to this cell, just as the psalmist is praying that the enemy has dug a pit, but they're going to fall in it themselves. The Antichrist's going to dig a pit. He's going to be sacrificing the Jews on the altar in the temple, amen. Hey, but he's going to get it in the neck himself in the end. Amen. Bible says in verse number 7, he says this, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Hey, when is he beginning to give praise? When he realizes the hole is dug for them, that the pit that they have dug for the psalmist, the enemy is going to fall in. Hey, that Haman's noose that he has hung, amen, for Mordecai is going to come to him. And now God's people can begin to praise God, that God's going to answer their prayers. He says, "Awake up," verse 8, "my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Look at verse 6 again. Listen to the wording. "They have prepared a net for my steps." That is at the moment. "They have prepared a net for my steps." It is right there. My soul is bowed down right now. "They have digged a pit before me right now in the midst whereof they are falling themselves." You talking about the faith and prayer right there? There's a pit right before me, but they have fallen themselves. He's praying like they already fell. The destruction's already hit them, amen. Hey, you know what? That's what kind of prayer life we need. Faith and confidence in God, that God is hearing and God's going to move in our lives. Amen. Turn back with me to Esther chapter number 7. God's people have prayed and fasted for 3 days. And now the spiraling down of Haman is beginning to come. We saw in verses 1 through 4 the attitude of Esther during her prayer and during this time of trouble. We saw the anger of the king in verses 5 and 8. We read a little bit of it right here. But tonight I want to look at the adversaries hanging. The adversaries hanging. Amen. Hey, you keep the right attitude and let God in His vengeance and anger do what He needs to do, and the adversary will eventually get it in the neck. Amen. "Vengeance is mine, the Lord said, I shall repay." When I see about the adversary being hung tonight, number one, I see the publishing of the wicked. The publishing. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said in verse 5, "And the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he? Who is he? Who's trying to destroy you? Where is he that does presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "The adversary, the enemy, is that wicked Haman." Do you imagine the king's there? Esther's there. Haman's there. The banquet's been prepared. Maybe some in the background, you know, preparing the food and bringing the dishes in the back scene, because you know some are at least close to where the banquet's taking place, because when the king comes in there and he's ready to kill him, there's a man that says, "Hey, he's trying to kill the guy that saved your life." So you know there's some others on the outskirts of what's going on. But the main banquet around what's going on here, there's just three individuals. It's the king, it's wicked Haman, and it's Esther, amen. And the king's saying, "Hey, who wants to destroy you? Who wants to kill you?" And while Esther's describing it, I don't know if it's sunk into Haman's mind right now, it's him. I don't know if he's maybe, you know, he had just left. You know, they told him, "You're going to get it." His own family said, "You're going to get it." When you get to chapter 7, when he heads towards the banquet, his family said, "Hey, you're in trouble." Hey, because that what happened in chapter 6, hey, the king said, "Take Mordecai and prance him around the city." And Haman had to take him around and prance him. And now he went back and told his family. Haman said, "Hey, the Mordecai we tried to kill, the one we got to base, the gallows built to hung, I just had to prance him around the city and let king get glory through his life." And they looked at him and said, "That ain't looking good for you, son." And now he makes his way to the banquet, because they came in haste and say, "Hey, the banquet's prepared, it's time to go back." And now he's made himself back, and I don't know his mindset. I imagine he's probably tore up in his mind. He's disturbed about what's going on, but he don't know Esther's a Jew. He don't know the connection to have him hung is right inside of what's going on in his life. It's right in that little circle that's, boy, you don't know how close judgment is right inside the circle you're living in. And God's about to do something, amen, and answer a prayer of God's people. Hey, God's people's prayers will come through. And here he is, she's telling the king about it, and Haman's standing there. I can imagine his mind's just like, yeah, he's halfway hearing what they say. Because he's thinking, "Man, what have I done to Mordecai, and what's going to happen?" And he's all beside himself. And Esther's over there saying, "There's somebody trying to kill us and destroy us." Maybe when she started saying us and destroy and kill and perish, and he's maybe thinking, uh-oh. He's starting to think, "Boy, they got me." And he says, "Who is it?" And I can imagine his face beginning to turn red. And she says this. She said, "The adversary, the enemy," and I can imagine her pointing her finger at him, "is that this wicked Haman?" Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. It says then he was afraid. Maybe he didn't realize it until she threw it out, because his mind was in so bad of a shape. But he's being published. He's being revealed. He's being unmasked as the enemy. Amen. Hey, it seems like everything's going well for the enemy. Everything's just hunky-dory. Nobody knows. I'm getting by. I'm not doing things that are right. I'm subtly living my life kind of behind the king's back, trying to get things accomplished I won't accomplish. I'm doing things behind mom and daddy's back. Mom and daddy don't know. The church don't know. My wife don't know. My husband don't know. And you're living wicked behind everybody's back. But there's a God up in heaven that sees every bit of it. And boy, you better be careful putting judgment on God's people. Because when God's people realize you've been being wicked towards them, and instead of taking vengeance in their hands, they go to Almighty God and say, "God, you know what they're doing. You know what needs to be done. You rest assured God's going to come through. And when His judgment comes, it ain't going to be nice." He's been revealed. The publishing of the wicked. The enemy is unmasked. He's revealed for who he is. He is the adversary. He is Haman, that wicked man. He is a great type of the Antichrist in our Bible. He's a great type of wicked people that try to destroy godly people in this world. And boy, there's some people out there that are very wicked and cunning on how they do things just so they can destroy people that are righteous. You know what? This world better take notice, amen. Just as God's blessed Israel, and you better not put your hands on God's chosen people. And God will bless them that bless them and curse them that curse thee. And you can see that all down through history, what God's done for God's people, Israel. But God loves the church, those His bride, those He has been that are blood redeemed, washed in the blood. And you start putting your hand on God's people, putting your mouth on God's people, and bringing destruction and misery towards them. You mark it down, amen. If the God's people will go to God instead of trying to put it in their hands and make it more mess when people do you wrong, and go to God, God knows how to fix the problem, amen. They're praying. They're not taking matters in their own hands. Mordecai's still going down to his job every day, sitting at the king's gate doing what he done every day. They're praying and trusting God and going through everyday services. Esther's still preparing meals and having banquets and getting things done. Hey, but the whole time God is working behind the scenes. God is hearing the prayers of His people.
Man.
A lot of times we lose faith that God hears our prayers. And now the wicked's being published. Amen. We see, we need to know, number one, who our enemies are. You need to know who they are. Who's the enemy? She said the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. You need to know who he is. Amen. And you know what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8? Be sober, be vigilant. Amen. You need to be under some control. I mean, the opposite of sober is drunk. Out of your mind, out of control. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's what he calls it, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Haman was walking around, seeking whom he can devour, the people that he wanted to destroy. The Antichrist is going to be seeking out those Jews that have not taken the mark. The devil and the world and the flesh is seeking to destroy your life. Amen. We got three major adversaries in this world. We know the devil, amen. We know when he's under this world system. And our wicked flesh is going to do all he can to try to destroy that inner man that's inside of all of us. You need to know who your enemies are. Amen. You know what? A lot of times we think? We think God's people are our enemies. And you know what? Sometimes God's people act like the enemy. You know what the truth of the matter is, though? They're just being influenced by the adversary, the wicked one, the devil. It's twisted their minds and their lives to do what they do. Now look in Revelation 12. Hold your place here in Esther 7. Revelation chapter number 2. 12, excuse me. The adversary. Who is he? He's the devil. You know what the Bible says about him? Look at how God describes him here. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 9. And he begins to destroy, to describe that old wicked dragon, the Antichrist. Look in verse 9. What's the first word there? And the great dragon was cast, listen to this, out. That old serpent, that's what he calls him, called the devil and Satan. Hey, you know what he is? He's unmasking him. There he is. When the Antichrist shows up on the tribulation period, he's going to come in with peace. I mean, if it was to happen today, and it could, you know what he'd do? He'd cure corona. He'd take it away. He'd put peace back in the streets. He'd try to fix the chaos that's going on in the world if America wasn't destroyed at the time. But he's going to try to bring it all together. And he's going to set up this peace. And he's going to be eating at the banquets with all the Democrats. You know? And passing all the wicked laws to try to justify lawlessness and making truth that's lying in the street, amen, to be false and error to be truth, amen. But he's going to somehow deceive the world that he's got peace on earth. But then he's going to be revealed. And God's revealed him here. He's that old serpent. He's Satan. He's the devil. Here's who he is. Which deceiveth the whole world. He's going to deceive. That's what he's going to do. He's trying to work with somebody to deceive the whole world. Man, you ain't got your head that far in the dirt, do you? I mean, half the world's deceived right now. If you go by what the polls say in America, half of America's already deceived. I mean, to think it's okay to kill babies? To think it's a lawful thing to riot and destroy and burn. They think that. That's how they think. They're already deceived. Anybody with any sound mind would know that is not right. It is not right to destroy and say it's in the name of good. It's wicked is what it is. It is. The devil ain't going to have to do much, man. He's already got it all. His spirit is already working, man. It's just setting up the stage. But God's going to reveal him. He's going to say, there he is. That old serpent, the dragon, the devil. And Haman thought he had it. He had, but hey, he was revealed. And these people in this old world that's attacking you and I. Hey, man, you rest assured God's going to reveal them one day. They're going to be shown out for who they are. Amen. The publishing of the wicked. Sooner or later, God will show you who's right and who's wrong. What you need to do is just trust God till He does. And try to keep the right attitude. Try to keep plugging along. He said in verse 9, he went on to say, he said, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and king and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Man, we're going to get this thing in the book of Esther a little bit later. Man, this thing's going to begin to get peaceful and joyful and rejoicing. Amen. After God takes care of Haman and relieves the Jewish people. And that's what's going to happen in the future. Amen. The tribulation's going to end in a bad way in that great battle. But the king's going to show up, set up the kingdom and rejoicing and praising God. It's going to be all going on forever. And the Bible said, here he comes. He said, and the kingdom of our God, in the middle of verse 10, and the power of His Christ, for, look at this, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Back in Esther chapter 7. You know what the devil's doing day and night? He's steadily accusing God's children to God. You know what the devil, you read the book of Job, and the Lord said, you consider my servant Job. And you know what the devil is doing going up and down? He's going up there before God and accusing God's people of being with him. He only serves you for naught. And he's up there doing this to God, and then he's coming down there and whispering in your ear. He's up there accusing Job to God, and then he's down there telling Job God don't care. And he got it all so upset that his wife said, curse God and die. His old friends turned their back, and I know God was trying to work something out of his life, that pride situation, whatever he was doing. But I'm telling you a process of what's going on. The devil's up there accusing God about you and I, and then he's down here telling us that God ain't fair. That's exactly what he was doing. Haman was doing. Haman was over there going over there telling Ahasuerus how wicked the Jews were, how they needed to be killed. He's back and forth trying to destroy. Listen to this right here. Here's a note right here. He says, the adversary, the devil, Satan, Haman in this case, people that you know that are attacking God's children, and the enemy are identified as Satan and the Antichrist. Somebody is about to be thrown out of the wedding because they don't have a wedding garment on. That's what's going to happen to Satan in Matthew 21. In accused, he says, in type, this is the accuser of our brother. Talking about Haman. Being caught with the two parties he's accusing getting together. You know when God's going to straighten this whole thing out? When he gets God's children and the devil face to face with God and say, now tell me what's the truth. You know, that's what people do. You go over here and tell somebody a little lie. Then you tell somebody something over here. You know how you fix that thing? Get both parties together. You know what Esther did in all her wisdom? She prepared a banquet, and she got Haman there, and she got Ahasuerus here, and she got them both face to face, and he said, this is what's going on. She didn't go over there and tell Ahasuerus when Haman wasn't there, so Haman could tell his side of the story. If you want to fix a dispute and mess, amen, get the parties together. It's going to help with the raising of your children, amen. You always got two sides to everything, you know. But he said, he said the two parties are now together. Satan's job has been to slander God to you and then slander you to God, just as he did in Job. When they get together, Satan is divided. That's what God wants. The adversary is being hung. Before he was hung, we see the publishing of the wicked. He was revealed for who he was. Number two, we see the preparing of his own words. The preparing by his own words. Look in verse 9. The publishing of the wicked. He was published. He was revealed. But then you see the preparing by his own words. What did he prepare? Look in verse 9. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows. This time they done threw a sheet over his head. The king's so upset about he's found out who he was. And one of the men inside there, one of his chamberlains, he's one of those mentioned over there in the early part of Esther, this Harbona, one of the chamberlains said before the king, behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high. I mean, everybody knew he had something built over there at his house. 50 cubits? If a cubit is 18 inches, that's a foot and a half. 50 cubits, that's 75 foot high. Some people say a cubit is anywhere from 18 inches to almost over 24, 25 inches. If it's 24 inches, that's 2 foot. That's 100 foot high. Somewhere between 75 and 100, maybe a little bit more or less. Somewhere around that range, depending on what a cubit is. We're just guessing on what they say a cubit is. But that's somewhere around what most theologians say it is. I mean, he's got something 100 foot high built over there on his house, at his house, to hang Haman on. Everybody knows it. And it's Harbona. Somehow he knew. He said the gallows that he's made. Hey, word had got out around some people that, hey, he's got this thing. What are you building this thing for, man? What you building this thing for in your yard? And he's probably over there telling everybody that old wicked Mordecai. That guy never bows to me and always causes me trouble. I'm going to put his neck around it. And I'm going to hang him up 100 foot high before the whole city and let everybody look at him. He had it prepared by his own words. He didn't build it, but he had it prepared. According to chapter 5, verse 14. Matter of fact, look back to chapter 5, verse 14. In the end of that chapter. Chapter 5, 14, last verse. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and a wicked woman, and all his friends unto him, his wicked friends. You know what? You get around a bunch of wicked influence because you do wicked stuff, by the way. His wicked wife and his wicked friends, they said, here's what they said, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. They come up with the idea. He just said, I can't stand this guy. And then his friends said, why don't you do this? You know what them wicked friends would do? Why don't you drink a little bit of this? Won't you smoke some of this? Won't you take one of these? They're a bunch of wicked people trying to destroy your life is what they're trying to do. They don't care about you. That's what wicked. You better stay away from evil company. Hey, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And have you taken junk and drinking meth and doing things and laying places and backbiting mom and daddy and ruining your testimony cause you to go away from God? That's what they influence you with. He's around a bad crowd. You get around that crowd that's always running their mouth, they're going to influence you in a wrong way. Amen. They said, let it be made 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king into the banquet. Listen to this. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. I said, number one, the publishing of the wicked, he was revealed. But number two, we see the preparing by his own words. It was his own words that said, y'all go build it. Now, he was influenced to say what he said, but nonetheless, he's the one that made the choice. Now, there's people out there that influence you to the wicked, and God's going to judge him, but if you make the choice to go along with it, you're going to be judged also. Haman got it. Amen. He had a gallows made. The old saying is, and we've said it several times in this chapter, you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. Look in Psalms 9. You give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. Psalms 9. That's right over here. Job's Psalm. Psalms 9:15. You know what you need to do? Remember back in the first part of this message, if I don't remember it, but we talked about Esther's attitude. Just keep a good attitude and trust God. God's going to come through. Esther just trusted God. And when it was time to reveal who that wicked man was, she had the right attitude when she said, the adversary is this Haman. She wasn't afraid to call him out. Mark then which caused the vision. There's a time for it. Yeah. You give a man enough rope. He prepared it by his own words, but what he prepared was what we said earlier in Psalms 50. Was it Psalm 51? No, it's Psalms 51. What were we reading tonight? Psalms 57. That pit that he had dug, he's going to fall in his cell. That gallows he built, he's going to hang on to himself. Look in Psalms chapter number 9, verse 15. Psalms 9:15. The Bible says this. He said, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. You see that? They made. They dug their own ditch. They built their own gallows. They wrecked their own car. They wrecked their own lives. They drunk their own booze. Their own pit. He said in verse number 15, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. You go ahead and lay down in it. You're going to get the fleas. And the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the soul, in the work of his own hands. His own hands. He built it. Had it done. The preparing by his own words. Do you know what your own words might condemn you? Your own actions. You go ahead and do it. God's got a reckoning day. Look in Proverbs 26. Next book here. Proverbs 26. You give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. So Proverbs 26, verse 27. The Bible says this. He says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. You know what we need to do? Just leave the vengeance to God. Just simply do what they've done. Fast and pray. Trust in God. Here's your little thought. Did you know that Saul, give us a king? Saul, 1 Samuel Saul. You know that Saul fell on his own sword? 1 Samuel 31:4. You know what he was doing with that sword? He was sharpening it so he could kill that stinking David. God's man. And that sword he had sharpened to kill David, he fell and killed himself on. Hey, you know Absalom hung by his own hair? Matter of fact, you know what these people are? They're types of the Antichrist. They're types of people that get it in the neck that they were trying to give it to somebody else. Absalom lifted up in all his pride. 2 Samuel 18:9, he hung by his own hair. Do you remember the priests, the presidents and the priests that had Daniel cast into the den of lions? You know what they got? They got the pit themselves. You see the principle? Daniel 6:24. Do you know Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed our Lord? He hung by the neck by his own noose. Hey man, you give a man enough rope, it'll come back and get you. But boy, it looked like good for a while. It looked good when Saul was king. It looked good when Absalom thought he was going to turn the kingdom around. It looked good when those presidents and princes had the king with a signet make a decree to put Daniel in the den of lions. It looked good when Judas Iscariot was told to bury and got money for betraying the innocent blood of the Lord. But every one of them got it in the net. Just like Haman. It might look good. You go out and do your wild oats, sell your wild oats, and live like hell. And it might look like you getting by. There's a God in heaven that's taking notes. Amen. And sooner or later, what you prepare with your own words is going to come back to get you. There's the publishing of the wicked. There's the preparing by his own words. And then lastly, there's the pacifying of the king's wrath. Boy, it's sad there. Look in Esther 7. Habano, one of the chamberlains, verse 9, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai." He's reminded him. He said, "Who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." Verse 10 says, "So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai." Then was the king's wrath pacified. Do you know what you see right here? You know what you don't see? You don't see a trial. You don't see a jury. You don't see an appeal case. You don't see a waste of taxpayers' money. You see a guy that was clearly wicked, that had clearly done wrong, put to death. You know how to save this world today? A little capital punishment. Well, you know they've done it. And you're like, we got to prove it by a reasonable doubt. Man, they're going to try to twist anything to try to make it. Man, it's obvious most of everything that goes on that is done is wicked. Why are we having a trial? So we can see if the glove fits? So we can acquit? I mean, it's obvious he killed him. But that's the world we live in, you know? Some of you kids, that's O.J. Simpson. You have no clue, you know? You know, most of that stuff out there that's going on, it's obvious. I mean, they got pictures of them all over the television, burning it down, destroying it, breaking in. Trying to beat in cars and kill people and overrun their homes. But we got to have a trial. We got to have an appeal. Then we got to see if it happens. Do you know in 1963 is the last U.S. hanging? 1963, last time the USA had somebody hung to death for their sin. Crime. You know, it was 1936, the last time there was a public hanging. Do you know what you didn't see much in 1936? The crime that you see today. Do you know what? You know what put a halt to some crime that'll slow it down? Judgment for wickedness. But if you do this, and if all the rap stars and the TV wicked people bail you out of jail, you're going to go back and do it again. And if the Democrats say, well, they just peacefully protesting and that's just the only way they know how to voice their opinion and justify all the destruction, they're going to keep doing it. It ain't going to stop till somebody stands up and says, send the cops in there and run them out with tear gas. Shoot some rubber bullets in there. Hey, go on in. Here'd be good. Hang on one of them around the neck at the courthouse. Like they done some of those statues. For killing like they done little kids. And drive-by shootings. And see if some of it don't slow down. But as long as you keep patting it on the back and pacifying it, it ain't going to change. We've done away with capital punishment. Look at us. They said if somebody executed not too long, the first time in how long, that dude was put to death, and he appealed it all the way to the end. And they tried to justify, well, you can't kill him because it's COVID. Yeah, but he didn't care when he was killing them people he killed. I mean, why you got to know they're guilty and then put them on death row for 20 years before you kill them? That's just cruel. No, that's just the way it works, man. That's why they keep doing it. That's why sin increases. There's no judgment on them. They cruel. It just is what it is. Yeah, I pray to get saved in jail. Glory be to God and go to heaven. But they still got to pay for the wickedness. Take Charles Manson out there and hang him up when he first done it. Didn't that slow some of that other crowd that was following him down, you know? Do you know what? I said the pacifying of the king's wrath. You know the king's upset. Yeah, amen. You don't think God up in heaven, this angry, the Bible says, contrary to a lot of people want to preach and teach, is angry with the wicked every day. Yeah, that's what this book says. Yeah. That God, that so loved the world, is the same one that is angry with the wicked every day. There's judgment. And his wrath's going to be pacified. Do you know what the king said? Hang him on the gallows. You know what they did? They hung him. You know what Ecclesiastes 8:4 says? Well, the word of a king is power. The king said, kill him. Well, the word of a king is there's power. Look at Matthew 7 in closing. The pacifying of the king's wrath. His wrath's going to be pacified. But it ain't going to be pacified until there's some judgment. There's some judgment coming. And the king's word is going to be true, and he's going to speak it. And it's going to be just what he speaks. You think we're going to get up before the Lord and say, well, Lord, I, you know. Hear what he say? Matthew 7. First book in the New Testament, right? I was in Mark. Matthew 7. Look in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many good, wonderful works. You know what Americans are going to say? Did we not go to church? Lord, did we not give our tithe? Lord, did we not get baptized? Lord, I know you know we've done this, but you know, everybody else was doing it. The king's word, verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know when his wrath's going to be appeased? When his judgment's given. God says, depart. I never knew you. Judgment's coming. You know what the king said? Hang him. Get rid of him. The spiring down of Haman led to his death, hung by his neck for what he had prepared for somebody else. Judgment's coming. What do we do, preacher? Pray and fast. Keep a great attitude as much as you can and let the king come with his wrath and take care of the mess. He's coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe God spoke to your heart about something. Maybe you want to pray about something that's been mentioned in that prayer room. Man, we'll give you that time. Come on, all to talk to the Lord. Wednesday night prayer meeting time. Whatever you need to talk to the Lord about is your time. Well, thank God we got a God we can go to. Sometimes.